Let's begin with a prayer, shall we? In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just praise and thank you once again for the gifts that you've given to us, the gift of life and the gift of faith. We ask at this moment that you send us your gift of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and of knowledge and of understanding of you and your ways. We ask that all that we say and do begins with your inspiration and bears the fruit that you desire. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. All right, I have three. You don't need to clap, that's all right. Good prayer. All right. So, the art of discernment. How do we come to know the will of God in our lives? So, all of us have this question. How do I make the distinction between voices that I hear in my own head? Is it the voice of God? Is it just what I'm feeling? Is it just what I'm thinking? So, we're going to kind of delve into that, all right? And hopefully I'll have some time if you need to shout out a question. I have no idea how I'll hear you, but we'll work it out. All right, here we go. Let's roll. Okay, so here's some things that we need to start with, okay? Some things that are important for us to know when it comes to discernment. The word discernment itself means to cut away at until you come to what is best. The word discernment means to cut away at until you come to know what is best. What makes discernment different from temptation is that temptation is between a good thing and a bad thing. Discernment is between two good things, which makes discernment even more difficult in some ways than temptation. For example, you're very hungry and you go to a restaurant and you look at the menu and you could say, I could eat all of this. You've just entered into discernment, right? If you're starving to death and somebody puts rat poison in front of you and food, that is temptation. That's an easy decision, right? I choose what is good. So discernment is difficult because what we see put before us often is, well, I have these two good options. I could either join this team or join this team. I could either go to this school or go to this school. I could either do this with my life or do this with my life. I could study this or I could study that. And they're both good. So how do we come to know what is God's will? Well, we always begin again with first recognizing that God is always near, right? He is Emmanuel. He's always with us. He's always speaking to us. And so we need to make sure that we are speaking to God. If not, I'm just ruminating in my head. Do you guys know what that word? It just means I'm spinning my wheels, all right? So just because you're thinking in church doesn't mean you're actually praying in church. Just because you're thinking holy things, good thing to do, doesn't mean you're actually having a conversation with God. And so discernment actually happens in prayer more than just, well, I'm just going to sit around and kind of think about things until I come to the right decision. Authentic discernment happens in Christ because God is actively pursuing us. God wants what is best for us. God wants what is best for you. And so if I want what's best for myself, I need to be able to talk to God about it. God the Father's Spirit desires only to console us. Always, always, always. Always, God the Father wants to console you. He never wants to make you miserable. One of the problems that we have sometimes is that we confuse holiness with misery, right? Well, if I'm holy, that means I can't have any fun. Or like the talk just said, you know, if I want to be holy, I have to break up with my boyfriend or girlfriend, apparently, right? No, to be holy means I'm choosing what is best. I want to be pure. I want to be free. I want to be the man or the woman that God has created me to be. So I'm going to choose that. And in choosing that, it's going to have some side effects. But I'm saying yes to what is best. In our weaknesses, God can always speak to us. And true discipleship, okay, and true discernment is on desiring to do God's will, not having God do our will. Amen? All right, very good. Smoke? You mean smoke? Smoke break. All right. There we go. Just making sure you stay awake. All right. So, starting point, this is a quote from the USCCB. That's the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. They tell us that God invites us into a relationship with him that is both personal and communal. He speaks to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Prayer is our response to God who's already speaking, or better yet, revealing himself. How about that? Revealed. Therefore, prayer is not merely an exchange of words, but engages the whole person in a relationship with God the Father through the Son and in the Holy Spirit. Now, again, you're saying like, wait, I thought we were talking about decision making. We're going to get there. But if we aren't men and women of prayer who are in relationship with God, we're not going to be good discerners. You might be kind of a virtuous decision maker, but not a good discerner. So we're going to start, again, with the call to enter into relationship with God. So Pope Francis says this, faith, as a people of faith, we seek an ever deepened understanding of God's self-disclosure culminated in Christ. God reveals himself and reveals himself perfectly in his Son. That's what we talked about last night and we talk about all weekend. Faith is born of an encounter with the living God who calls us and reveals his love, a love which precedes us and upon which we can lean for security in building our lives. If you're going to discern well, you have to trust that God loves you. If you're going to trust that God loves you, you have to have an encounter with the God who loves you. Does that make sense? Yes? Very good. Okay, just want to make sure. Again, if you were going to make a decision with your friends, you're trying to figure out what your friend wants for you, you would know your friend's desires. You would know your friend's thoughts. You would know what they like and dislike. And so it is in our relationship with God. That as we come to know Jesus, as we encounter him, we start to love what he would love. We start to choose what he would choose. In fact, Pope Francis says that in faith, Christ, here's Jim Caviezel Jesus, by the way. This is my Jesus that I pray to every day. In faith, Christ is not simply the one in whom we believe, the supreme manifestation of God's love. He's also the one whom we are united precisely in order to believe. Faith doesn't merely gaze at Jesus, but sees things as Jesus himself sees them with his own eyes. It's a participation in his way of seeing. What does that mean? You and I all have decisions that we have to make. And so what you're inviting is you're saying, Jesus, help me to see these two paths as you see them. Give me your eyes. Give me your understanding, because I think that I kind of know what I like, and I think I know what might be a good thing, but I need you to show me. Discernment. Jesus, help me to see with your eyes. So the first part of having an authentic prayer life with God is to be able to acknowledge what we're experiencing within ourselves. Right? So what do I mean? Well, lots of times, you know, in spiritual direction, people come in and they say, Father, I just feel, I don't know, I just feel so blah. I'm like, well, can you be a little more specific than blah? They're like, no, I really can't. Blah is as good as I can get, you know. It's kind of like when we walk into an emergency room and you would say, I kind of hurt. Do you know where? I don't know. Just, there's blood coming out. I don't know. Like, well, can you point? Can you do something for us? In our spiritual lives, in our relationship with God, we need to be able to acknowledge. We need to be able to pay attention to what I'm experiencing in my lives. So it's impossible to grow in relationship with another without first coming to some self-possession. I'm invited to encounter God as we are and to acknowledge our thoughts, feelings, and desires is the first necessary dynamic of growing intimacy with the Trinity. What does this mean? Jesus. Here it is in my life. I'll use myself as an example because it's embarrassing and you guys might understand it. So I felt compelled to go to the priesthood. I was sitting at a Steubenville when I was in high school. I was sitting next to my girlfriend at the Steubenville conference. And all of a sudden, I started to feel this tug on my heart. And my thought, feeling, and desire was, no, 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 no way. Leave me alone. I'd rather sit here next to her. Thank you very much. Tell me more about it. Well, you see, Jesus, because I'm afraid. Ah, you're afraid. What are you afraid of? I'm afraid I'm going to be lonely. I'm afraid I'm going to be unhappy. Well, now we're getting somewhere. Why do you think I would make you lonely? Why do you think I would make you unhappy? What have I ever done or said? What have I ever revealed to you that would make you think, that I would leave you desolate, that I would leave you alone? Nothing, Jesus. It seems like you're creating that out of nowhere. Apparently, Jesus. Right? To acknowledge, right, to be honest with ourselves, that the first thing that we need to be able to do is to be able to say, this is where I am. It's a question that God asked Adam and Eve in the garden, where are you? It's not because they were really good at hide and go seek, right? He was allowing them to articulate what they were experiencing. We were afraid, so we hid ourselves. I was ashamed, so I hid myself. Why are you afraid? Why are you ashamed? Come stand before me. So in your discernment, maybe it's just even like, where do I want to go to college? Should I date this person or should I not? And maybe you just have to be honest with God and say, I'm afraid I'm going to screw up the rest of my life if I make the wrong decision. All right, let's talk about that. Why would you think that God would allow your life to be screwed up by what university you study at? Well, because so many people put so much pressure on me, and I feel like I have to make all the right decisions right now. And as a sophomore and as a junior, I have to get a good ACT score. Who said you're defined by those things? Well, God, I listen to all these other voices. Why? Right? So to acknowledge. And then to relate. That once we kind of know this is where I hurt, this is my fear, this is what I'm experiencing, then we have to be able to offer it to God because I can do nothing with it myself. I'll tell you an experience that I had about this. I was really anxious about 7 years ago when I was being transferred into vocation ministry. So I was just carrying anxiety around inside myself. I just felt nervous all the time. And I explained it to myself. Oh, well, I need to get accustomed. I just need to get acclimated. I'm sure it'll all calm down. And my spiritual director said, well, have you asked God to tell you about your anxiety? Why would I ask God a question I already know the answer to? Because maybe you're not as smart as you think you are, he said. So I had to go and I had to sit down in the chapel and I actually said this prayer. Jesus, I'm anxious. I think I already know why I'm anxious, but if you want to talk to me about my anxiety, go ahead. And the next part of prayer is that we have to be able to receive what God reveals to us. And what I received at that moment from God was, you misunderstand, be perfect as I am perfect. That you're living out of a spirit of perfectionism instead of living in freedom as a beloved son. It's a lot different, right, than saying, oh, I'm just anxious because things are changing right now, right? And again, we're going to get there, trust me, but this is very important. We have to learn how to pray well before we can discern well. You have to be able to pray well before you can discern well. So to be able to receive is an honest and consistent acknowledging and relating the movements of my heart that then I'm able to receive what God desires to give me. It says reception of divine love is the most fruitful human activity. Reception of divine love is the most fruitful thing that you can do. Let God love you. Receive that love. Abide in that love. That's why Jesus says, remain with me, stay with me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So to receive God's love, Mary's the perfect model. She receives God's love and bore it to the world. And then we respond. Okay, and here's where we start to get into the action. Here's where, after I've offered God, here's my thoughts, my feelings, my desires. Here's this big question that I want solutions to. I respond to what God has revealed to me. What we receive from God calls for a response. Our response will be free, virtuous, effective, and fruitful if it is inspired, directed, and empowered and sustained by the grace we've received. Our response to God must be on the basis of a gift of communion received from him, for Jesus teaches us, apart from me, you can do nothing. So I shared a little bit this morning. I'll share a little bit more about my own discernment process. I told you that I entered the seminary when I was in college, kind of wrestling with God a little bit. And here's what happened. I was walking around, and I thought that it was supposed to be all like sunshine and rainbows. I was doing God the favor by going into the seminary, right? God, you need priests. I guess I'll take one for the team. I'll break up with my girlfriend, and I'll go do your will. You're welcome, right? Instead of understanding that God is always the one who does us the favor. So I walked into the seminary, and like I said, it wasn't like being on retreat all the time. It was difficult, and I didn't like all the guys I was living with. And then I was going down to the university for classes, and I saw all these cute girls. And I'm like, well, there's a sign, there's a sign, there's a sign. So I left. poor discernment. A poor discernment. Because I was relating nothing to God. I was just expecting God to make me feel good all the time. It wasn't a response of love, right? It was a response of affect, right? Make me feel something, God. And if I don't feel it, I'm going to walk away from it. When I spent 2 years out of the seminary, I worked in part-time youth ministry. I finished my degrees, and the Lord already started working on my heart that I was supposed to go back. And so I made one of the most foolish and brave prayers of my life. I said, God, you've led me here twice now. And so now I will receive things as a sign to grow instead of a sign to leave unless you physically kick me out. Brave and stupid prayer, right? Because God took me at my word. When I was a first-year theologian, I came back. It's when the priest scandals broke in the United States. All of a sudden, it wasn't such a popular thing to be studying for the priesthood. And so now I had to ask myself this question. Am I doing this to be popular, or am I doing this because God is asking me to do it, because God is calling me to it? Is this a response, or is this just something like, this is what the super youth group guy does? It has to be a response of love. Second year I was there, I had a bunch of friends in the seminary and in religious life that left the convent, left the monastery, and left the seminary. So I had to learn to stand on my own two feet. Am I here because all of my friends are here with me? Or am I here doing this because, again, God is calling me? Third year, I was assigned to a parish. Miserable experience. School was closing. People throwing things at the pastor. Is every parish assignment going to be great? Or are you here because I'm calling you? Fourth year, right before diaconate, I got the phone call from a girl that I knew that said, we're supposed to be married. I know it. All of our friends know it. And you're ignoring it. Brutal. It was brutal. And I remember going into the chapel that day, and I went in and I journaled, and I think I might still have that same journal entry, and I said, God, why would you do this now? I'm 6 months away from being ordained a deacon, and here I get this phone call at this moment of my life. And the response that I got from God is, because it's a free choice I'm inviting you to. I'm not forcing you to do anything. God will never force you to do anything. He always invites us to come and follow him to what is best for us. God never will force you to do anything in your life, but he always invites us to respond to him out of love. So far, so good. All right, I need a smoke break. All right, very good. I have no idea what he said, but the smoke was pretty good. Okay. So here's some quotes from some pretty holy people. And the reason why I chose them is because it shows that discernment is all about falling in love with God more than anything else. So St. Anselm, make a little time for God and rest a while in him. Speak now to God and say with your whole heart, I seek your face. Your face, Lord, I desire. If you put God first, Jesus says this, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added besides. So don't worry so much about what you are to eat, what you are to drink. You're worth many more than many sparrows, right? Seek God first. St. Julian of Norwich, do you want to know what our Lord meant in all this? Learn it well. Love is what he meant. Who showed it to you? Love. What did he show you? Love. Why did he show it? Out of love. Discernment is born out of love. Good, holy decision-making is born out of virtue, out of relationship with God who loves us. And the important thing is not to think much, but to love much. Teresa of Avila. Right? The important thing isn't to think much, but to love much. So how does God speak to us? How do I discern? What is the difference between a voice I'm just hearing myself, like my own thoughts, feelings, desires, and what God says? Okay, the first thing, prayer. You have to make time every day in some way to pray. And I don't just mean that like in the throwaway, like, oh yeah, every Steubenville person says you got to pray, and my youth minister says you got to pray. Like, yeah, I get it. No, pray. If you don't pray, you're not going to be as happy as God wants you to be in your life. And in real, authentic prayer, it doesn't just mean that we babble like the pagans do, but that you actually sit down and you acknowledge God acknowledging you, and that you tell God, here's where I am today. Here's my fears. Here's my joys. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak to me about it. He speaks to us through his word. And his word means both scripture and Jesus, the word made flesh in the Eucharist. So spend time discerning using scripture. Right. Read the Gospels. If you don't know where to start with Mark. It's the shortest one. Right. Spend time before the Blessed Sacrament. Spend lots of time, you know, at Steubenville conferences, adoring the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. He's at your parish as well. He's at your parish as well. The same Eucharistic Lord is in your parish, just like he's in this place. Visit him. God speaks to us through others. Have you ever had that experience? This, you know, could have been part of the relationship talk, where sometimes people say, hey, do you like that person? And you deny it. You're like, no, like, we're just friends. Like, we're just friends. We're like, are you sure? You stand awfully close to that person, and you're not that funny, and she laughs a lot around you, right? No, there's nothing happening. And everybody around you, you probably even had this coming down here with some of you, right? You're like, look at those two. Man, there's something going on there. Nothing going on. Sometimes other people can see things more clearly. So other people will say to you, I see something in you. That I see the way that your heart works, the way that you're active in your life, that you ought to consider doing this. And we need to realize that is the Holy Spirit's gift of counsel. The Holy Spirit sometimes will bring people into your life, sometimes strangers, sometimes good friends, that'll say, I could really see you being good at this. I could really see you being happily married to this person. I could really see you as a sister or as a brother or as a priest. I could really see you studying medicine or engineering or veterinarian or being a doctor, whatever it is. God speaks to us through others. And we need to have the humility to receive what he says to us through them. But the number one way that God speaks to us is through the desires that he puts on your heart. The desires that God puts on your heart is the fundamental way that he speaks to you. Jesus, I desire to be holy. Jesus, I really do. I desire to be happy. God has put the desire for happiness on your heart. If he put it there, he knows how to fulfill it. So we need to be able to trust our desires and ask God to purify them so that he can fulfill them in the way that he desires. God has created us again for himself. And again, St. Augustine, another great quote from the great saint, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And finally, in spiritual direction, we talk a lot about God shows us good discernment through his gift of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, humility, chastity, and self-control, right? You all knew that. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are a sure sign that God is leading you towards the direction that you are called to go. So, if you are praying about a decision that you need to make in your life, should I break up with this train wreck of a boyfriend or girlfriend that I have? All of your friends are going to say, yes, you need to dump that person right now. Gift of counsel. Right? Then you say, boy, God, I'm really kind of afraid that I'm going to be lonely, it's going to be difficult, that I'm going to do this, but do you desire it? And as I have a growing sense of peace, of knowing it's the right thing to do, I can say, aha, peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that's where I need to go. Follow the consolations that God gives to you. Pay attention to what you experience when you think and pray about the decisions that you need to make in your life. Last few minutes. It's probably the most difficult thing that we can have. This is based on St. Ignatius. And he says that, really, before we begin any of this, here's what we need to desire. He goes, we need to pray for a holy indifference to what God does with our lives. He says, God created human beings to praise, reverence, and serve God, and by doing this, to save their souls. That's what we were created, to come, to know God, to serve God, to know him in this life, and may live with him forever the next. God created all other things on the face of the earth to help fulfill this purpose. From this, it follows that we are to use the things of this world only to the extent that they help us to this end. And we ought to get rid of ourselves and the things of this world to the extent that they get in the way of this end. What does that mean? The world is good. God has surrounded us with a beautiful creation. God has surrounded us with a bunch of good things, but they are the created. They are not the creator. They're things. They're not the maker of all things. And if we get lost in the gift, we lose the giver. If we get lost in the gift, we lose the giver. So God wants us to be able to enjoy the world. We ought to be joyful. The world doesn't need any more crabby Catholics walking around, all right? Pope Francis says this, right? He says, we walk out of church like we're walking out of a funeral, right? It's like, be joyful. This is good news. God loves us. God has given us the world to live in. But we're just passing through. It's not our final destination. So this is what he says. This is St. Ignatius, and it's a radical prayer if you really pray about it. For this, it is necessary to make ourselves indifferent to all created things as much as we are able, such we do not necessarily want health rather than sickness, riches rather than poverty, honor rather than dishonor, a long rather than a short life, and so in all the rest, such we ultimately desire and choose only what is most conducive for us to the end for which God created us. You were created to be a saint. You were created to be a saint. And every decision you make has to have that running in the background. Does this lead me closer to heaven? Does this lead me closer to God? Am I fulfilling the will, the end for which I was created? Or am I selling myself short? That's what poor discernment, decisions, and sin really are. You're selling yourself dramatically short. You're settling. The world wants you to settle. The world wants you to settle, and God wants you to be great. So choose greatness. We'll just end with this slide. Nothing is more practical, and I'd say nothing is more practical in discernment, in decision-making, than finding God, falling in love in quite absolute and final way. What you are in love with, what seizes your imagination, will affect everything. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you do with your evenings, how you spend your weekends, what you read, whom you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love. Stay in love. And love will decide everything. That's Catholic discernment. It's not making a pros and cons list. It's not just sitting around until I kind of just, you know, think long enough and hard enough and come to some sort of 50-50 coin toss. It's based out of the knowledge that God loves me in response of that love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this weekend, we pray that you help us to fall in love with you in a quite absolute way. That as we come to different crossroads in our life, that we abide and remain with you always. And that you help us to desire what you desire, to see the decisions that we make as you see them, and give us the courage always, always, always to choose what is best and never to settle. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.